Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Friends, if you're traveling around the states or outside the states, you can archive any of our broadcasts, Amazon, Overcast, Google. In fact, we were number one and two in Google 2 weeks ago. I'm happy about that. Also, our archives can be procured through Buzzsprout, Poddash, Pandora Review, and Apple Face, SoundCloud, Facebook, and also on the YouTube. Some of these platforms charge, but ours are all free, so feel free to take part of that. The views and opinions on the podcast can be a little bit emotional sometime, and so we need your listener discretion. But the opinions may not agree with the staff people here, but again, we want to discuss these things to implement just three things. We want to focus on forgiveness. We want to focus on healing, reconciliation within the Church of God. That's our main focus and our mantra here on Wounded Hearts program. During the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be working with the young people and what they've been going through. And tonight, we have our director. She's in the Atlanta area. And of course, we have Pastor Foster. He's in Arkansas. And my name is Moon, licensed counselor, founder, Antioch Youth Center, retired. And I'm in the South Macon, Georgia here. So again, we're going to talk about the young people and what they've been going through and just the issues that they have been coming through and why we've been losing so many down through the years. So I want to introduce Pastor Foster, Calvin Foster, been preaching for years and years. In fact, he planted that church in Kensett, Arkansas. You can see him on YouTube. He also does evangelistic work in Oregon and other places, and we're glad to have him here tonight. Let's give him a hand, because we're glad he's here. Wow-wee. Like more than 100 people. So I mean, we want to prompt this discussion tonight to show you a slideshow. We're going back to the 1950s. And the church that I attended as a child, that was the main building, near the main sanctuary that we attended those years ago. Of course, there's a lot of young folks there in the church there, and just an exciting time. And this is again right around 1950. There's my dad in the middle there, choir director. They had a youth choir. He was directing that. You can see maybe what 50 people or more there. And it brings back memories. They had the three buses, plus, again, young people just everywhere. And here we have, again, a young people's program. Just the camera does not even get all those folks in there. And so it was just a lot of folks there. And, you know, during that time, Pastor Foster, our Sunday school was 1,268. Our average attendance was 730. And it's ironic because in this publication that I have, it says, where there's unity, there is strength. Yes. Realizing spiritual value that can be gained from a unified church.
That's right.
And ironically enough, about 70 years later, you talk about splits and division. I can't name you 20 young people from that group that are still serving God. And it's just ironic. So the young people, it just seems the devil just fight on them so hard that they can't hardly recover. So, Pastor, are we able to win back our young people? Can we win back our young people?
I think it's really going to take God and love and wisdom to win back our young people. Really, and to me, it boils down to the free agency of mankind. Mm-hmm. I mean, many of us have raised our children the best we knew how, and we did our best to keep them from the pitfalls of life when they were young, and took them to revivals and camp meetings and lived the life before them. But many of them, when they got grown or when they became a teenager, they began to look out into the world and made a decision. And we just pray that many of them will come back to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. You know, Jesus put his hands on the little children in Mark, the 10th chapter.
That's true.
And his disciples tried to woo the children away, but Jesus said, no.
Amen.
Forbid them not. And he laid his hands on them and blessed them. So we want to continue to do our best as to just bless the children. This subject is very, very powerful, very big subject to discuss.
Yes, but sir.
We don't want to lose our children.
Amen.
So I think with love and wisdom, we could get them back.
You know, Pastor, being a church baby myself, my granddad was a preacher, my dad minister of music, and a lot of us just went out at that age. I remember, you know, leaving church and you mentioned love, and that's so important. What can we do to love them back? Because many of them, they have the iPhones and these type of things. What can we do to love them back? What do you think we can do about that?
Good question.
Well, that's a good question. You know, like the Bible said in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not
depart.
He will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. I think a lot of times in Hebrews 6, I mean, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If they're still children, we have to be careful how we correct our children. You know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, as Scripture said, and the rod of correction will drive it far from them. But sometimes we may use the rod incorrectly. I know you and I, we came up in a time where I came up in the time you mentioned Frank Miller Jr. I didn't have a dad in the home when I grew up under his ministry and in the church congregation. And my mother would give him permission. He used to whip us boys. We would be acting up in church and we'd be playing catch in the parking lot. I remember getting a whooping from him, and my mother would sanction it. So, but then sometimes, I mean, as I raised my children, it was a time where we have to interpret the scriptures right. We may have driven our children away by being a little too hard on them.
True.
Because that, you know, we didn't get a book. It didn't come with a book. The only book we had was the Bible, and we definitely didn't want to spare the rod. And so I think it's we gotta learn to discipline them, educate, train, and instruct them and live it before them. Two of my children I saved. I have four children, two boys and two girls.
Praise the Lord.
One of my daughters is saved, and one of my sons is saved.
Thank God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
One of my sons was saved for 15 years, and he went back into sin. He went back on the Lord. And so when he went back, he had bitterness. Mm. He began to find fault with the church. And so I don't want to get ahead of you, but
Patrick, that's good, because there's a lot of young people.
Yes.
In fact, I called one today to listen in tonight. I hope he does. He's up in the western part of the country. Bitter. Church issues. So church issues. Okay, tell you what. You're talking to someone tonight, Pastor Foster, who got bitter over church issues. What would you tell them?
They're bitter. And why are they bitter? Because maybe leadership didn't handle a situation right.
Right, right.
Maybe they wasn't respected. They wasn't heard.
Right.
Yes. And
right.
They got bitter. They got, right. You know, they got bitter. So as we come in and we talking to bitter people,
yeah,
we have to get to the bottom of that. Talk to them, sure, about it and hear them out.
Good point.
And just all we can do is pray and give them the word of God. Mm-hmm. Give them God's word and tell them God still loves you. There have been people that have pastors that have failed them.
Sure.
Amen. And walked, sure, off and left them and, sure, and hurt people real bad.
Sure.
You can't live on hurt of the past.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in the Lord. And I tell you, it's a lot to be said about that when you're, mm-hmm, dealing with people who have been hurt, mm-hmm, and bitter. Mm-hmm. That bitterness will destroy them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, oh, yes. Yeah. It's cancerous, really.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, friends, if you know someone who's been wounded or if you've recovered, call in tonight. We want to hear from you. Then, this is a Church of God podcast, not just our podcast. This is all of our podcasts to work together,
amen, amen,
as a team, not just making, right, Georgia, all around the world, to come together. Like the pastor said, talk about these things on a platform to see what we can do to reach out to those who we can reach. Some people can't be reached. Okay. At least we can endeavor for that unity. This is Wounded Hearts podcast. We're here every Thursday. And you've not been forgotten about. We're here to reach out to you. If you've been calling in the past, thanks so much. And we're glad to know that you're there. And we are here for you.
Amen.
You've been wounded? Sure you have. Let's try to discuss this dialogue to come to that conclusion, reconciliation, healing within God's church. Any questions or comments from our director?
No, not at the moment, sir.
So again, friends, time is just about gone. Mm-hmm. You can call in 1-866-538-3664, 1-866-538-3664. So, Pastor, I want to talk about your son a little bit, maybe not in detail, but did that process take years? Did it just happen overnight? Or how did that process take place?
That process, it seemed to me, it took years. He started having problems in his private life and in his home. And that's what laid the seed,
okay,
for him to. But then you start. Sometimes young men get it in their mind. They want the church to go a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not a civil rights organization. You know what I mean? Sometimes young people feel like that the church pastors and leaders are not getting involved in the community as, right, we should.
Right, 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 right.
We do our job when it comes to that to a certain extent.
Right, right.
You know, but we,
right,
can't. I mean, I can't spend a lot. I mean, I could, but I won't.
Right.
Because I've been,
right,
called to preach the gospel.
Amen. But
when young men start bringing in other ideas from the community, and if the elders and leaders don't move like they think they should, it's set. The devil gets a seed in their heart. And and other things, you know, other things that's working behind the scene that we don't even know about.
That's true.
The normal temptations of life.
That's true.
You don't spend time with the Lord, amen, and reading the word and spending time with the Lord, the normal temptations of life will bring you down. You know, you have to have that relationship with the Lord.
So, Pastor, do you think that there is some people that it's not so much the church issues, but their own lax serving God,
like
praying,
say,
fasting,
concentration, and dedication.
Consecration. Yeah. Could that be a factor from them trying to cause problems at times, do you think?
That's right. It's personal. It becomes personal in their own in their own private life, the time they spend with the Lord. Thank God for the wonderful Sunday school teachers and the people that spend time with the children.
Yeah.
They are saints that love the children, and they spend time with the children, and they give their life to trying to dedicate and put the seed of God's word in the children. But like I said in the beginning, it comes back to this personal desire, free moral agency of that God gave us to make a choice in which way we want to live our life when they get grown and the world is luring. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that we have hurt our children as the Church of God people is, I believe division hurt us a lot with our children.
Right.
As our children and teenage boys and girls want to, as they live, they want to get married. We teach them against fornication and all of that kind of stuff. And they're young and they're entering puberty and all of that. But there's so much talent among the young people and other congregations that can be a blessing to one another. But division keeps us apart.
Division.
The young girls don't have no husband, no boy. The young men don't have no sister to look forward to seeing again at the next revival or something. And then they start looking out in the world. Amen.
Pastor, division, that has been a devastating scourge in the Church of God, hasn't it?
Yes, sir. It really has. And it has hurt. It has hurt families. It has hurt. It has hurt our children, our sons and our daughters, because they don't have nobody. They want to marry somebody, but because of one disagreement of something, people don't fellowship with one another.
Pastor, what would you say to a young person? They were affected by division. The slides we saw earlier, 1,000 folks Sunday school, and the church split 1, 2, 3 ways. Yeah, at least 3 ways. And that person got in the mix of that. What would you tell them today? If they were in the division, they were scarred by it. What is your advice?
They were scarred by it. I mean, like a situation, say, for instance, a person fell in love with a certain person from another congregation, and then a division came. Mm-hmm. Well, as people get grown, they're going to make a decision who they're going to marry. Mm-hmm. I think when they get grown, their children, they should know me and my husband, me and this young man or this young lady, we are not going to allow that to separate us, because if we're in love, you know, and we want to serve God, and if it's not a sinful thing, you know, then I would say to that person, sit still and wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't run off with nobody, you know, that will lead you astray. You know what I mean? Lead you away from living a holy life and living for the Lord.
Pastor,
this is a hot seat subject. It really is.
Trust me. Trust me. Yeah, I'm perspiring right now.
Yeah. I don't know why you always give me the big.
Well, I got 2 more before our time. And they're a little hotter too. Pastor, you're talking to someone today who got in the division as a young person, and they went off in homosexuality or lesbianism. What would you say?
There you go.
I know many cases.
Yeah.
Many cases, not around the country.
Right.
What would you say to them? What can we say?
I've seen Saints children, and you see it happening more often now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Saints children are going into homosexuality and lesbianism.
Lord help. Lord help.
Father, and help you us. Wonder what happened, why, and you would have to ask them to speak from their heart. What made them turn against the teachings of the Church of God, the Word of God, as you said to me, where some of them they were hurt, and some say, Church of God, no way, I'm done,
right, I'm done. Right.
Amen. So what do we say to them?
Right.
I'm done with you, Church of God. When children were growing up, we took television from them, and we sought to keep from evil and of such. But now children everywhere got a television in their back pocket. You know, they got them cell phones.
That's true.
You know, you have to, you know, we.
That's true.
It's a new day. So, but we know we got to say, I train you up in the way you should go. And amen. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that seed of God is still there.
Amen.
One daughter has tried, my youngest daughter, she has tried to be saved on different occasions, but she never did stay long enough to even get baptized. Yeah, but I'm still working on her. We're still working on her. We're not going to give up praying and loving
them.
We got to love them.
That's true.
We got to pray for them.
Amen.
Don't quit. I love to see young people, those youth leaders. Mm-hmm. They are very valuable.
Pastor,
being faithful to the children.
Some young people blame the church, but and I understand that could be an issue, but I don't think is there an excuse to go to homosexuality or drug addiction or feminism? I mean, is that an excuse to leave?
No, we know it's no excuse, but it's just that sinful nature that being away from God and opening up their mind and their heart to explore into those kind of areas of life. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's no excuse for it. Amen. You being a psychologist, I don't know if it was wrong in my time when I was raising my boys. I used to play football with them and rough them and tough them, and I would punch them. That was my way of wanting to let them be boys. Be boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now that may not have worked or not, but they knew, and I kept them from joining the street gang. One of my boys wanted to try to drift in the street gang, so it means something to have a mom and a dad in the home.
That's true. That's true.
Save parents.
That's true.
That's the greatest blessing
true.
Of all.
That's true.
They have saved parents, and they're gonna make their decision on how they want to live, but mom, you can't blame it on mom and dad,
or on the church pastor, or on the church.
You've been a perfect example. My wife and I have been married now for 49 years.
Well, praise the Lord, amen.
Lord bless you. They know that dad and mom is there.
Amen.
They know we are for the Lord.
Amen.
They know we with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
That means something.
True.
Pastor, I hate to cut you off, but we got calls coming in now. I think we got three of them here.
You got a question. Yeah, got
yes, sir.
Now, Mr. 313 asks, do you think a lot of Church of God children get into those type of relationships to hurt or cast a negative light on the children?
I think it could be a rebellious child that would want to hurt his parents. Mm-hmm. Or hurt the image of the church and flirt around with that kind of stuff in a deliberate way. Because the devil demons is evil. They'll lead you into all kind of stuff
that's
when you're a teenager. Mm-hmm. Amen. You wouldn't want to hear some of the testimonies of some of the deep testimonies of some of the saints that have got saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? From our time is just about gone.
Well, she was just trying to correct herself. She said, getting to the type of relationships to hurt or cast a negative light on the church, not children. So she just wanted to make that correction.
I think we had a question for prayer. Someone asked for prayer also, too.
Yes. Larry Flew Ellen asked the pastor to keep him in his prayers. His name is Brother Larry.
Well, Frank, since our time is gone beyond time now, we went over tonight, but you can see why. Pastor, can you come back next week, if you would? That would be helpful to us.
Yes, sir, please.
Okay. So again, friends, this is Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches podcast. We're here each week, and we're here for you. This is our podcast, not mine, not our director's. It's ours, Church of God. Feel free to call in
to be
a guest. This is a united effort to do what we can to maintain the unity among God's people. So again, we're here each Thursday. We thank God for our director, for Pastor Foster, and for our viewers. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you next week.
Amen.